News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams on a show that is known for being solid, conservative, and just plain right. Right Side Radio, that's us. Hey, by the way, check us out, rightsideradio.org. You'll find photo galleries, suggested reading. You've got access to all the podcasts. The podcasts are almost at the 20,000 download mark. You've also got the opportunity to contact us directly through the website and see bios for myself and Copper. And just listen, that's where we got all our stuff. So check it out, rightsideradio.org. And it is 4:36 p.m. right now on Tuesday. That feels like Friday. I don't know why that is, but it feels like it should be a Friday by now. But nonetheless, a lot of y'all are ready to head home. And you're thinking about tomorrow morning on the way in, I am tired of making that, you know, sorry little cheesy cup of coffee at my house and putting it in my travel mug and trying not to spill it when I drive. I'm going to make a suggestion to you. Give yourself an extra special morning. Stop by Just Love Coffee Cafe on the way in tomorrow morning. They got two locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Maybe you stop in and you eat breakfast because they've got a breakfast, lunch, and dinner menu there that'll blow your socks off. Amazing salads, wraps, sandwiches, but breakfast? Oh my goodness, breakfast. Waffles, omelets. They got, literally, it's the kind of comfort food that makes you want to hang out. You can even do some work there with their Wi-Fi. But they also have some of the best coffee around to include all the fancy ones like cappuccinos and macchiatos and lattes and espressos, but also just some of the best roasted beans that will make good black coffee. Check them out. Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, Hughes Road in Madison and South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Hey, Copper, grab the mic. Let me ask you a question. So I just did this segment there. I mean, I know you heard it. The whole thing there on who's in the running and governor's race and Senate race. Getting crowded, getting tight, getting different. What is your perspective? What are you sort of sensing in terms of momentum for candidates right now in either one of those races?
I'm not sure. I think a lot of people my age haven't made their minds up yet. They are really sick of the division, the anger, and I think they orient more towards middle-of-the-road candidates, and yet we don't see a lot of those these days because of how divided we are. The candidates who throw haymakers around do better. So I'm not sure where most of us would lean.
When you say middle of the road, you're talking about like more of a centrist position or middle of the road in terms of their, you know, politics, in terms of being like party affiliation and all that. What are you saying?
Maybe more in terms of how they present themselves. The willingness to listen to other people, to hear other opinions. Remember, we grew up during the height of postmodernism, so we like to hear, I'll sit down and listen to your opinion even if it's different. Even if they are actually very opinionated in terms of fiscal policy or immigration or whatever it is, the persona of being slightly less crazy.
All right. So let me ask you this then. In terms of the candidates, I mean, right now, yeah. If I had to describe them, I would say that Mo Brooks is a very kind of straight-laced candidate who will, you know, sort of get in your face, so to speak, take no prisoners. Katie Britt is also take no prisoners, but she does it with a kind of a disarming smile. And now we also have Mike Durant, who is a bona fide war hero from a time prior to your generation.
Yeah.
But all that to say, what of those three candidates, what style do you think most appeals to your generation?
I think Katie Britt.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. I think she's appealing to a lot of people. Obviously, she's picked up 30% of the polling so far, or 30% plus. All right, what about the governor's race? So do you have any perspective on, all right, so Kay Ivey is obviously in her upper 70s. I think she's in her upper 70s. She's kind of got that old school sound to her voice. She's not really a get out there, go get them kind of personality, but she's not a wallflower either. How does that play out with your generation, you think?
I think we're fine with her. We're not really inspired, but she doesn't create as many problems as, I don't know, past governors. And so I think we'd vote for her if we weren't super impressed by any of the other candidates, just because it's safe to stay with what you've had.
Okay. So the devil you know as opposed to the one you don't know is what you're saying. I guess I get that. And I will say this too. I mean, truth be told, in the end, I'm going to wind up voting for the candidate who is the last person standing on the more conservative side of the ballot, period. And if it's Kay Ivey, as frustrated as I am with some of the things that have come out of her office, I would still vote for her in that regard. And I'm going to be curious to see what this Lou Burdette guy's like. Don't know anything about him. Just tried to reach out to his staff a moment ago. Going to try and get him on the show. But on top of that, Tim James and Linda Blanchard, I think, bring some other challenges to Kay Ivey in the race. So we'll see what happens. We will see what happens. All right. Thank you, Ms. Copper.
Sure.
Hey, listen, next segment of the show, I'm going to spend a few minutes here, and it's actually just a few minutes now. But I kind of style this thing as teaching from the ivory tower, meaning I'm watching decisions being made, and I'm thinking, who's making that decision? And where's the consistency? And why is that decision even being made? It's on all kinds of things. Sometimes it's curriculum. Sometimes it's fighting back against wokeism in schools. And sometimes it's also looking at the fact that, you know, COVID is being handled differently, like everywhere. There's no rhyme or reason sometimes. For instance, here's a no rhyme or reason type thing. So the Alabama Department of Public Health, because they always follow the science, they always follow the science on this. ADPH came out and said they are going to maintain a 10-day school COVID quarantine advisory, as opposed to the fact that the CDC recently said 5. And they address it. In fact, State Superintendent of Education Eric Mackey said he is concerned about the fact that schools and parents know that there is a 10-day quarantine protocol in education in Alabama. But yet the CDC for businesses came out and advised 5. He said, it's not applicable to schools, but he went on to say he recognizes it's going to be confusing. Well, then why are they doing it? Okay, so the CDC came out recently and said on December 27th, just late last week, they are cutting the quarantine for businesses down from 10 to 5 days. All right, cool. But then they went on to say, the Department of Public Health in Alabama went on to say, they cannot recommend the shortened isolation be adopted. Why? I don't know. I'm not sure where the science lies in this situation. The CDC has updated some of its recommendations according to ADPH, but those have not yet been specifically considered for K-12, yada, yada. And then on top of that, though, Houston County, which is down around Dothan, I believe, Houston County School District, though, said, no, we're doing 5. So the state school superintendent and the Department of Public Health are saying 10. The CDC says 5, and the Houston County School District says, yeah, we'll forget y'all, we're doing 5. Who? What? I mean, okay, do you see what I'm saying? Now, do I like a little bit of local rule on that? Sure. But man, what the heck? And then you got the fact that colleges across Alabama, by the way, are returning to masking. I saw that University of Alabama is returning to masking on campus. I think Auburn already did. My alma mater, the University of South Alabama, just announced this week that they are going back to full masking for all indoors. All right. So my niece, who is now at the South Alabama, is going to be wearing a mask in classrooms because apparently they think those things help. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think they help. That's my unadulterated and untrained and unscientific, I did not say a Holiday Inn Express opinion. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you can put on a cloth mask and it fogs up your glasses, then obviously vapor is getting outside the mask and it does not do its thing. But they're going to mask up down in South Alabama. Good on you, Jaguars. See how that works. But then you look at this and you go, okay, what about policy? How about things that are out there? Well, a story came out earlier this year that I totally missed. I've got it right here. April of this year, Fox News had this story. Oh, you know what? My show wasn't on the air then. That's my excuse. Anyway, nonetheless, Secretary of Education for the United States is Miguel Cardona, or Cardona. I don't know how you pronounce it. Miguel Cardona, he had formerly been the Connecticut Education Commissioner. And in Connecticut, in 2019, He wrote an email to all employees of the system stating that, and I'm quoting here, he wanted to take steps to ensure teachers were supportive of the new woke curriculum that that state was implementing. You heard me. That man is now the Secretary of Education for the United States. Really? He made the comment as his department, it says in this article, was tasked with creating a new high school course on, quote, African American, Black, Puerto Rican, and Latino studies. And it would be considered optional for the upcoming school year, but required by the year 2022. It's basically an equity and diversity focused education curriculum, which looks a lot like critical race theory. Well, the Secretary of Education now does not just leave those things behind. I guarantee you he carries them with him to the next place he goes. Well, then you wonder, okay, so why do the liberals get mad, though, when we do stuff like, I don't know, how about Governor Ron DeSantis just about a week and a half ago introduced something he calls the Stop Woke Act to keep critical race theory out of classrooms. It's not being taught in classrooms. That's only a college thing. They don't do that in K-12. Did you just hear what I said about the Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona, who literally said to his staff when he was in Connecticut, he wanted to introduce what he called woke curriculum for the sole purpose of dealing with, you know, racism from the perspective of equity, diversity, and social justice. And I'm just telling you, folks, that guy's now at the U.S. Department of Education. And Governor Ron DeSantis is saying, oh, by God, not in my state. And he introduced a bill. He's called it the Stop Woke Act. And he had a rally to talk about it. And, of course, the liberals panned him. They say it's not even really happening. And they're denying who they've got sitting up there in D.C. right now. Got a few other things that I'm going to tell you right after this break. We're going to come back and wrap up the show for the day. But you might want to hear what one college in Tennessee is doing. They're actually paying extra stipends to their staff if they'll teach about social justice and systemic racism. Oh, yeah. Tell you about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we got the best audience in the world, too, a bunch of Right Side ruffians who are paying attention. I know you are. And the fact that you make the show what it is means a lot to Copper and I. We appreciate you very, very much. Just want you to know that. Hey, listen, I'm wrapping up this segment. It was a short segment here, but did it on what I call teaching from the ivory tower. So the third part of the Triple Dipper today, teaching from the ivory tower. I mean, they're making decisions, and you wonder, who in God's name gave them that idea? Who said that's the way to run things? Who's making? Why is it different here than it is over there? Well, we're seeing that everywhere. Here's one that I thought was very interesting. I just did a little bit there right before the last break about the fact that there are our Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona, is literally someone who has said in the past he intends to implement woke curriculum. That was his position. Those were his words back when he was in Connecticut. Now he's at the U.S. Department of Education. But yet there's no worries. There's no woke curriculum in our schools. Critical race theory is not real. Well, I told you about Governor Ron DeSantis calling bunk on that and dropping a bill or asking for a bill to be dropped, pushing legislation that literally deals with that per se. Then you got the college level, and you got craziness happening. So townhall.com, story out yesterday. University of Memphis, that's right up the road from us. University of Memphis told its professors they could receive a $3,000 stipend for infusing diversity, equity, inclusion, and social justice into their curriculum as part of the university's, quote, eradicating systemic racism and promoting social justice initiative. Danger, Will Robinson, danger. Yes, I do see that as being absolutely wokest and unnecessary. According to an email sent to all the faculty that was obtained by the Washington Free Beacon and reported here in townhall.com, The public university, University of Memphis, is offering professors a $1,500 stipend after they redesign their curricula and an additional $1,500 after teaching the new class. Yeah, there you go. Professors that are interested in the program are asked to submit a copy of their syllabus so it can be redesigned, along with a 500-word narrative about their diversity, equity, and inclusion philosophy and how the new course will address disparities within their subject area. Yeah. One of the university faculty members who wanted to remain anonymous told the Washington Free Beacon he believes the institution is definitely wasting resources on this because they're having trouble getting, you know, what they call equitable pay within the university, and then they're doing this. Well, how about this as we wind down the show? Teachers unions appear to think that they're the ones who set policy now. They're not. Just so you know, Chicago's teachers union, I saw earlier on Fox, is taking a vote on whether or not to, I think whether they're voting on whether or not they want to go to remote. What that really is the prep for a strike. Then you've got New York City, story in the New York Post today, dated yesterday. A group of New York City school teachers asked a judge, they literally filed suit, to force remote classes in city schools for 2 weeks. Can you imagine employees of the system suing the system, demanding not to have to work? This is unheard of. The 11 teachers who are members of the Union Caucus UFT Solidarity, I'm not sure what the UFT stands for. United Federation of Teachers, are petitioning for all classes to be conducted online through January the 18th. Like, by the time they have the hearing, the 18th is already here and gone. I mean, today's the 4th. If you haven't had the emergency hearing yet, it's going to be probably the end of the week or later. I mean, school's already starting back. Bunch of knuckleheads. The suit is seeking a temporary restraining order against in-person learning and comes just days before classes resumed on Monday. Yep. How about this? Massachusetts. CBS Local in Boston is reporting that as of this past weekend, the Massachusetts Teachers Association wants schools to stay closed just on Monday so they can start testing. In other words, they sued over the weekend or asking for the system to be closed on Monday so they don't have to come back to work. I'm just saying, folks. All right, what a great show. Hey, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 5 p.m. Like always, Copper will be with us. And I'm just telling you right now, we will continue to be solid conservative and just plain right. Coming up next, you got the great one, Mark Levin. I look forward to being with you tomorrow, too. We'll see you then. Have a great night.